How's that? Well, good morning. This, as Philip said, is the beginning of a series on a fairly important topic, and other people who will follow will and I'll turn it on again, and if they go, okay, here we go. In a wine tasting at a vineyard, the visitor often gets to taste a variety of wines, and the wine master hopes that the person will purchase some of the wine that they like. And so, in a similar way, I want to offer you a variety of thoughts on guidance and hope that you'll take one of them away and use it, or in terms of my wine analogy, I want you to drink and enjoy the wine you purchase and not just put it on the shelf and do nothing with it.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah, our lives are full of choices. Every second, we're making choices. Now, that's a catchy song, but it's not realistic in the sense that they only offer you two choices, stay or go. Every time we have choices to make, there are many things we can do, not just one or two. But our topic is not about making choices this morning. That's our context, and the topic is guidance, which is always in the context of making choices. And we want to make wise choices, not foolish ones. So, here we go. How does God guide us when it comes to making choices? What does the Bible teach about guidance? Many voices speak to us. So which one should we listen to? How do you listen? In Genesis chapter 12, God called Abram to leave Haran with his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot and go to the land that God would show them. Now that is a simple, clear example of God's guidance. God spoke to Abraham and off he went. Now, further on in the life of Abram, sometime after he and Lot had gone their separate ways, Abram learned that Lot and his family had been taken prisoner by four kings, all with hard names, so I'm not going to try and pronounce them. Abraham gathered some of his men, and they went and rescued Lot and his family. Now, there's no obvious guidance from God in this passage. Abram just did what he thought was right. Things worked out well. Did God specifically guide Abraham and tell him to go and rescue Lot? Maybe. Not clear, but he did what he thought was right. So when we ask God to guide us, what do we mean? Some say we want God to guide us so that we can do God's will and not make bad or wrong choices. And that thinking assumes that there's only one right choice. And I don't think so. I think there's lots of right choices we can make. And we can make bad ones or wrong ones as well. So, what to expect from God in terms of guidance? Does God have a plan for your life? That's a tricky question. God knows the beginning and the end. He knows your entire life in every detail. And theologically speaking, we'd say God has foreknowledge. He knows all things. But just because he knows all the choices that we will make, it does not necessarily mean that he caused them all to happen. Knowing is not the same as doing. So here's my understanding of this. Yeah, that's right. God knows everything, past, present, and future. We're told in the Bible that God has predestined or chosen some people to believe in him. So you could say God chose you to become one of his children. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 1, 4-5. Even as he, that's God, chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. However, we're also told in the Bible that we humans have free will and that we're free to make our own choices. So here's what Moses said to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. I believe that both of these are true. That God chose us and we chose God, but it's not easy to kind of put them together. This sort of thing is what's called, I looked this up, antinomy. Antinomy is a situation in which two statements or beliefs that are both reasonable seem to contradict each other. Now, J.I. Packer explains it very well in his little book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. I have a copy. I was planning to bring it and I forgot, but I'll bring it next week if anyone wants to read it. He explains this very well. A simple example of this antinomy is from physics about light. Is light a wave or a particle? Well, sometimes it behaves like a wave. Sometimes it behaves like a particle, and both are true. And you just kind of, that's how it is. And so it's not an either-or thing. It's two things that both are true, but they seem to not fit together quite well. So, God in his love, he's chosen or determined some things for us, and he's gifted us with the freedom to make our own choices. I think you're right. He will not ever force himself upon us. Okay. We might have time for a conversation at the end as well. So does God have a plan for your life? Well, yes, he does, I think. But not in the sense that if you disobey his plan, your life will be ruined. And his plan for us is much about the kind of people he wants us to be as it is about the particular things we should do. Okay, so that's the introduction. Now we'll look at how God guides us. Make sure I'm on the right track. First thing, a few things. God guides all of creation, including us as individuals, through his sovereign will. God is going to accomplish all his purposes. But he's not telling us much about this. We get glimpses of it. And that type of guidance and influence is largely beyond our knowledge. Second, God guides us through his moral will in the Bible, through commands, what is right and what is wrong. So the Ten Commandments, for example, reveal God's moral will. The commands from Paul in Colossians 3 that I spoke from a couple of weeks ago are examples of God's moral will and his desire for how we live. I talked about being compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. And then there's character commands in the Bible. God desires us to be like him. So in John 13, 34, he says, "Love one another as I have loved you. Follow my example." Ephesians 4, 32, Paul says, "We should forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Follow his example." So there are many commands in the Bible about what we should or should not do and about the kind of people we should become. So God's moral will is found in the scripture, in the Bible, and you kind of knew that anyway. Third way God guides us is through his wisdom. In the Old Testament, there's five wisdom books: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. So they don't really contain commands, but rather they've got wise words about how we should live. And then there's this great verse in the New Testament, James. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Anyone here who doesn't lack wisdom? Anyone here who does not need to be any wiser than they are now? God gives wisdom when we ask. And then in verse 6, James adds that when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. So my experience is that when I ask God for wisdom, I don't feel any wiser. I do my best to believe that God has heard my prayer for wisdom, so I just get on and make some choices. Fourth way, God guides us in special ways: words, dreams, visions. Wendy and I know a Sri Lankan man lives here in Hamilton who is Buddhist and has had two separate visions of Jesus. Yeah, you can pray for him. I once spoke with an Australian man when we lived in Myanmar, who received a word from God to go to a particular place on the border of Thailand and Myanmar in the month of January, and even the day was specified, and start a Bible college, which he did. So that's a very, very specific word. Many years ago, when I was doing some consulting work in Sydney, in Australia, I decided to take the train into the central city one evening. And at the train station, a man there, strangely in white clothing, I thought from memory, told me not to go into the city. So I didn't. If I ever have had an encounter with an angel, that might have been it. It seemed quite unusual. Wasn't much said. This guy said, "Don't go into the city." And that was it. And lastly, on my list, God guides us through other people. And these other people are often Christians, but wisdom is not just given to people who believe in Jesus. We can also receive wise advice from people who aren't Christians. Right. Example of guidance. Our friend Jim Russell, and his wife Diane have made many visits to the Megst College in Myanmar to teach English to students during the teaching break. Now, a few years back, our friend Tony, who I'll mention later as well, encouraged Jim to go and live in Myanmar for a while, like about 8 or 9 months, and help computerize the finances for the college and to oversee some refurbishments. So Jim went, did some really good work, even though he knew nothing about computerized accountant and in an earlier life was a strawberry auctioneer. But that's guidance. Tony encouraged him to go. God was certainly involved in this, but I wouldn't say that God made Jim go there. It's still his choice. It's always our choice how we respond to guidance from other people or any guidance. The advice that other people give us may be good or not so good, and we need to evaluate that advice. Here's an important thing. If we ask God for guidance and we get guidance, then we should follow it. Yeah. Don't ask God for guidance if you're not willing to do whatever guidance you receive. That would be silly. Okay, where am I up to? Oh yeah, I want to go back to number 2 about God's moral will. Within God's moral will, and considering God's wisdom and any special guidance he may give us, I believe that we're free to choose. Some people worry that if they get it wrong, they'll ruin God's plan for their life. I don't think so. You might make a choice that seemed right at the time, but then things don't go so well. Well, I mean, that happens, doesn't it? It doesn't mean it was a wrong choice if things don't go well. And here's just a little aside. Failure is one of our best teachers. You potentially learn more from failure than most other things. Doesn't mean you should seek it. If you look at Peter's 3 denials that he knew Jesus, it seems to me that his failure there was necessary for him to become the man that God would use. So, what am I saying? You don't try and fail, but failure is part of our growth and learning. And we will fail sometimes. Here's an experience of my own about God's guidance and some measure of freedom. So this was back when I was finishing my graduate study at Canterbury University and started looking for jobs. So I wrote lots of letters. Nothing was digital back then. And I ended up with 2 interviews and 2 job offers, one in Wellington and one in Auckland. So I had borrowed my friend's car in Auckland, drove to Piha Beach and sought God's guidance. Which job should I take? Should I stay or should I go, sort of thing. I only had 2 jobs. And I got a clear answer. This is the only time that something like this has happened to me. And I'm not suggesting that my experience should be your experience. God's answer to me was this. He clearly said, I don't mind which job you choose, I can work with either. Now, I'm not saying he says that all the time, but he's God. We're not going to ruin his plans. So my main takeaways from that experience is that God will accomplish his purposes regardless of what choices we make. And to think that we can ruin God's plan with unwise choices is not true. But, you know, if you make a whole lot of dumb choices, life will be difficult. There are consequences as well. Okay. 2 practical considerations. Number 1, willingness to obey. I touched on this before. When we ask God for guidance, we must be willing to do what he says. We know that. Sometimes, I think, when we ask God for guidance, we really know what we want to do anyway, but we secretly hope that God will confirm what we want to do. So I'll say it again, do not ask God for guidance if you're not willing to do what he says. Second practical consideration about hearing from God. We do want to hear from God, but God does not always talk to us, does not always, in our experience, respond to our requests. Not always. So two comments. First one, Wendy and I, with a couple of other friends, have been discussing a book called Seeking God by Trevor Hudson. And Hudson draws on two main sources, Ignatius of Loyola and a guy called Dallas Willard. And Hudson writes that he was experiencing God's silence regarding a possible change in his job, his vocation. And Willard said this to him. He said, I'm reasonably sure that if God had anything in mind, he would have let you know by now. Maybe God wants you to go ahead and do what you really want to do. It's unlikely that God plays hide and seek when we ask for guidance. It's an interesting conclusion. If God does not speak to you, then perhaps he just wants you to get on with something and do it. My second comment comes from Proverbs 16:9. The mind of a man plans his ways, and the Lord directs his steps. Now that's a kind of teamwork verse. You know, we do something and God does something. We often expect or maybe prefer God to tell us what to do before we start doing something. Willard suggests we should start moving in faith and then trust God that he'll guide us once we get moving. And the illustration that comes to my mind is that of a motorboat. It's one of a Myanmar motorboat, that one. You've got an engine with a propeller and a rudder. The propeller makes the boat move and the rudder steers the boat. But if the propeller's not moving, the rudder's useless, right? It's not going to go anywhere. And so with a boat, if you want to steer it, you've got to start moving first and then it'll steer. And I think sometimes for us, when it comes to making choices, we do well to start moving and God will guide us once we're underway instead of waiting to hear from him before we start. So I've got a final example about personal example of how Wendy and I came to go and serve in Myanmar for 10 years. In early 2012, we found ourselves to be kind of free. Children had left home. We had good jobs that we were enjoying. Wendy as a CELTA trainer and myself as a university teacher. And we said to God, we're available. We'd be happy to continue what we're doing, quite enjoy it, but we're available. We could go overseas. So we gathered information. We talked to four different mission agencies, talked with the Chapel Hill Missions Committee, and in the end, there was lots of possibilities of what you could do. And then this guy, Tony, that I mentioned before, encouraged us to consider going to the Meigs College and teaching there. Now, we did not hear God say, go to Myanmar, in a loud voice. It just seemed to us to be a good choice, and a choice which offered opportunities for both of us, whereas the other choices were not kind of evenly spread among us. Not everyone thought it was a good idea for us to go. But we did. People asked us, how long are you going for? And our answer was, well, we plan to go for 10 years, but we could be back in a year. We don't know. So for us, we were guided by our situation of being available, and we looked for opportunities that would use our skills and knowledge, and we were guided by the wisdom of other people. In summary, God is not a puppet master who is always pulling our strings and directing all our actions. God is not a blind watchmaker who, having created this world, then walks away and leaves everyone to figure it out for themselves. So, God is neither of these. He is actively involved in his creation. He loves us. He guides us and gives us freedom to make our own choices. So I'll finish with this excellent statement of James. I should read it again. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Some of the best advice in the Bible for guidance. Ask God for wisdom. Trust that he has given you wisdom, and go ahead and do something. Okay. In Burmese, we'd say pibabi, which means I am finished. So, any questions or comments or things you'd like to raise? Feel free. Did you hear that? So some people in their cars have it on your phone. You have a GPS that tells you which way you should go to something. If you go the wrong way, it reroutes you and finds a new route for you to get to the same place. Yeah, that's an interesting analogy. So it's unavoidable. You're going to get there. Yeah. Yeah. Peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. It's probably a guide for us as we give advice too.
Yeah, that's right.
The Bible, I think, is a very clear blueprint on how we should do things.
So you think that is?
Well, it's a classic blueprint on how we should do things. Not what we should do, but how we should do things.
Mm. And I would add to that, what I think is also important is why we do things.
Yes.
What's your intention? Is it to bless other people? Is it to help yourself? Whatever. So what we do, how we do it, and why we do it are all quite...
I would suggest that it's more important.
It's
why and how.
Yes.
Than what.
Okay. I lean to that. Yeah. Why do I do this? Why do I want to do this? Yeah. Good. Good thoughts. Okay. Well, the boss is gone. Boss is up here. That's okay. Okay. Well, let's close in prayer. Derek.
Can I say something before you close?
Yes.
On behalf of the church, I'd like to thank the elders for putting on the rugby today, and I'd like the church to trade an appreciation by clapping their hands. Yeah.
So I'll endeavour to follow Philip's example and close with a prayer, but not in Maori, I'll do it in Burmese. Okay. Sudanya Aung, which means let's pray. Piathakin Gaunji Bebaze San Shalpaze. Piathakin Mietnatha Bebaze. Piathakin Leji Mu Nain Chan Mu Baze. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.